All right, would you please take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter number 43. I want you to know how honored and how humbled I am to be a part of this prayer advance. This is my first time here. And I told Brother Vaughn it will not, Lord willing, be my last. I kind of feel like the old maid who went to her pastor and said, "Pastor, I'm getting some age on me. I'm afraid I'm not going to get married." He said, "Honey, you don't have to worry about it. God's got one plan, one man, one woman for a lifetime. You can't improve on that." She says, "I don't improve on it. I want to get in on it." And I'm not glad I can get in on this today. I appreciate Brother Vaughn. I appreciate his heart for revival and how God has used him. I'm honored to be able to talk about what God did in our area. Came to be known as the Burlington Revival. And there'll be those that remember it until the day that they die. What God did in our area may not have been on the extent of maybe the Wales Revival, Shantung Revival, some great revivals you've read about in history. But it has superseded anything that I've ever experienced in my ministry. I've been in some tremendous meetings. I have the privilege of being in the Lynchburg Revival at the end of that meeting in the 70s. I've been in some tremendous tent meetings with Brother Ralph Sexton. Meetings in my church. We had a meeting in our church that went 4 weeks. People stayed at the church till 12 o'clock at night. One meeting we had over 60 people saved in one meeting. To God be the glory. And that was the reference point in our church about the move of God, that meeting we had in the 90s. But this meeting that we've had back beginning last May to July is greater than anything that I've ever experienced. And I want to be careful. I want to be careful to give God all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 19. Isaiah 43 and verse 19. Let me ask you to turn, please, to Isaiah 43. And the reason that I read this, because God states his intention with a promise. And this is the promise that God placed in my heart to believe God for revival. James Alexander Stewart, the great preacher of another day, said that any church, any school, any mission field can inaugurate a new condition by believing the promises of God and praying through. And I found God to be true to his word in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 19. God is writing to his ancient people, Israel, who had been in the Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Because of their captivity, God took them to a place and cured them once and for all. They may not have been everything they ought to be when they left captivity, but one thing for sure, that God cured them once and for all from idolatry. God says in Isaiah 43 and verse 19, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, our Father, that we have a rent veil. That God, the veil was divinely rent. It was not rent from bottom to top, but from top to bottom. And God, you give us access to a holy God. We thank you that we have a great high priest on the right hand of the Father who's touched with the very feelings of our infirmities. I ask, oh God, in Jesus' name that you might receive maximum praise and glory and honor to your good name. I pray that you'd help us, God, to rightly represent you. God, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I pray in Jesus' name, God, give us recall and help us to present this today in a way that will bring praise and glory and honor to your name. I pray that when we leave today, will not say what a great sermon, not what great singing, but what a great Savior. Unto you be praise and honor and glory. Lord, we're sensitive to give you the praise. Lord, we're careful to give you the praise because you alone are worthy. All the glory of man is vain. And God, we bless your name, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And for thy sake we pray, amen and amen. God said that I will do a new thing. That word new is the word fresh. It's the very same word used in Lamentation, where God said his mercies are fresh and new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I believe that you would agree with me today that what we need in our church is the fresh touch of God. More than we need programs and more than we need personalities is that we need a fresh touch of God. God did something in our area on a scale that I've never experienced in my life. And I want to just take this promise. We began a prayer meeting in our church for 15 years. Just a small group in our church. We never had over 20 or 30, maybe some, a little more, sometimes less. We prayed in our church for 15 years that God would send revival. We met on Saturday nights, and then we went to Monday nights, and we had target praying. One of the verses that God placed in my heart, and I believe God for, is Isaiah 43 and verse 19, where God says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness." And God said, "I'll bring rivers in the desert." What we prayed for, what we prayed for, we actually experienced in God's time. I want to say something about revival, that I am no expert on revival, but I do know it's a sovereign work of God. God in His time, God in His timing. I don't understand when God does what He does when He does. Maybe it had something to do with the election. We did not know the extent of what this revival, how that it would spread out, how that it would touch the nation. And it could be that God used it somehow to turn things around. I believe that you'd agree with me this afternoon that God has given us a space of grace and a space of mercy in this country. And I personally believe that if we do not take advantage of what God has done in this election and what God has done in this country, it'll be worse than it was before. God says, see, I want you to notice, first of all, we see a promise of a new thing. God states His intentions in the form of a promise. I'm so glad God stakes His very character. God stakes His very reputation on His promises. There's a lady that came to Adrian Rogers one time and said, "Dr. Rogers, if God does not keep His word, I'm going to lose my soul." And this is what the preacher said. If God doesn't keep His word, He's going to lose His character. God will lose His honor. God stakes His very character. God stakes His very honor on the promises of the precious word of God. And we can say amen to the exceeding great and precious promises of the word of God. What does God promise in this verse of scripture? God promises to transcend anything that He ever done in the past. He's writing to the people in Babylon, and God said, "I'm going to transcend anything that I've ever done for you in the past." And that is a mighty statement that God makes, because if you look in Isaiah chapter number 43, that He talks about the mighty works of God. Look at the first part of this chapter of Isaiah 43. He talks about liberation. He says, "I have redeemed thee." God delivered Israel by the blood of the Passover lamb. God sent a Moses. He did not send a Hittite. He did not send a Jebusite. God sent a kinsman. God sent one of His own. And by the blood of the Passover lamb and by the power of God, a people that had been in bondage for 430 years came out of the Egyptian bondage by the power of God and by the blood of the Lamb. I'm so glad that God sent you and I, kinsmen. He didn't send an angel. No, sir, He didn't send a seraphim, but God sent a kinsman. Jesus became flesh. He became our kinsman redeemer and went to an old rugged cross and shed His blood. And you and I have been redeemed by the precious blood. He talks about preservation. He said, "When thou walkest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned." He talks about occupation. He said, "I've given Egypt. I've given Egypt as a ransom." That's the whole story of how God brought Israel out of Egypt, brought them through the wilderness, brought them into Canaan land. And God said, "I am going to transcend anything that I've ever done before." You're getting ready to see a mighty work of God. God did something in our area that has transcended anything that I have ever experienced. We were like those that dream. We're kind of like the early church. We'd prayed for the release of Simon Peter. And when Simon Peter was released, he came knocking on the door and wrote answer and said, "It's Simon Peter," and they didn't believe it. We prayed, and what came about, we had a hard time believing. We was like those that dream. "God, when am I going to wake up? Is this real?" We had slated a revival meeting in our church, just a 1 week revival, with an evangelist by the name of C.T. Townsend. And I want to say, to begin with, that he and myself were very sensitive to give God the glory. God will share His power. God will share His wisdom. God will share His grace. But there's one thing God will not share. God will not share His glory. When you begin to boast and when you begin to brag, especially when God begins to move in revival blessings, then God's hand will go off that meeting. But here's a young man that God has raised up, and he preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way, men of God, that I can describe what happened in our area was the supernatural presence of God. God invaded our area with His presence and power. It began with just a week meeting, Mother's Day. A lot of folks say that's a bad day to have a revival meeting. It's never a good time to have a revival meeting. It's either basketball, it's either football or whatever. Just have revival meetings. So we had a revival meeting. The church that I pastor holds about 600 people comfortably. We had a good church meeting. People came. Our people came. On Thursday night, God broke through in mighty power. Friday night, God broke through in mighty power. God laid it on my heart to tell the evangelist, I believe God wants us to extend the meeting. He already had some obligations, and he called a pastor. The pastor agreed, but reluctantly, to let him come. We extended the meeting to a second week. On that Sunday that he came back after the first week, on Sunday morning, God showed up. Man of God didn't even get to preach. People began to move to the altar. People were broken. People began to seek God. There was a man in our church by the name of Clinton Jones. We have been praying for a long time. Clinton has been involved in all kind of sin, drugs, and all kind of wickedness and ungodliness. We prayed for him. I got to the place where I almost thought that he'd crossed the deadline. I've preached and I've seen him grab the pews and his knuckles turn white. I've seen him weep and I've seen him cry. He had a godly mother that went to heaven. I said, if there's anything that's going to cause Clinton to come to God, his mother has died, but Clinton didn't come to God. But on that Sunday morning, without the preacher even opening up a text or reading a text, that young man, God broke him like a shotgun. He came down an old-fashioned altar and God saved him. God redeemed him. Now he's faithful to the house of God, and God's put him on fire for God. Second week, he went to 700 people. We went 4 weeks in my church. 700 went to 800 people, 1,200 people. We had to send them in the choirs. We had to send them in the aisles. Had to send them on the outside. The fire marshal said, I'm going to have to shut you down. Finally, we had to move over to a tent. Evangelist Ralph Sexton, Brother C.T.'s pastor, agreed to let him use his gospel tent. We moved over to an area on I-40 in the Burlington area. First night, there was 2,500 people. There was many as 5,000 and 6,000 people that came to the tent. People had to sit on the outside. I'm talking about 95-degree weather. I'm talking about times of storm. There was times that we had by the fire marshal to make people leave if lightning storm came. We had to make them leave one night, but they came back and God began to move again. They had to sit on the outside of the tent where there was no shade, and yet they came. We averaged 2,500, 3,000 people to the very end of the meeting. God said, and I want to do a new thing. Then I think about the cooperation of the pastors. You know, whenever you get two Baptist preachers together, God's up to something. Amen. I heard about that fellas on the island. They found he'd been stranded on an island for a long time, and there was three buildings. They said, what that one's for? When they found him, he says, that's where I live. And said, where's the second one at? He said, that's where I go to church. What's that third one? He said, I couldn't get along, and so I started another one. When the meeting was in our church, we had pastors to fellowship and come together, men that I had not had much fellowship with. They came, we had as many as 30 and 40 pastors to be a part of the revival meeting. When we moved over to the tent, there was many as 300 pastors that came to that meeting from different states, 15, 16, 17 states represented. There was preachers that made 3 or 4 different trips from Texas, 2 or 3 trips that come from Indiana because God was moving. Every night there was many as 2,000 on internet. This was the first tent meeting that was on live streaming. As many as 2,000 or 3,000 were watching live streaming during the meeting. And before the night was over by midnight, there was many as 30,000 that were watching by way of live streaming. If you saw it by live streaming, you could not sense, you cannot see on live streaming the presence and the power of God that was there. You'd have to be there. But oh, what a cooperation. Preachers prayed together. Preachers cried. Preachers shared burdens. Preachers loved. Preachers got right one with another. When the church was in the meeting, I had a pastor that come to me, and I didn't know I had anything wrong. I didn't know there's something wrong between us. I didn't know that he had anything against me. He came to me and made something right. People came to Brother C.T. and made things right. Preachers made things right. And that led to revival. And revival led to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. Revival.
Revival leads to an outpouring. An outpouring leads to an awakening. You could sense the very atmosphere of our area was different. I know it's not feelings, but you could feel something in the air. The very atmosphere of the place changed because God had chosen to invade our area. And God said that I want to do a new thing. God did a new thing in our area. But the main thing about this meeting was the drawing power of God. I don't know what your theology is, but I will tell you this. Without no conviction, there is no conversion. Never sensed such power in my life and my ministry. And that's what made this meeting so different than anything that I've ever been in. Because of God's manifestation of His power. Brother Randy, what was the secret? All I can say, it was a sovereign thing. God's people were praying. People were praying around the clock. There were men that were praying under the platform. While the preacher was preaching, they were praying. God honored that prayer. We had morning prayer meetings where God showed up. And some of the most holiest times that I had personally was not in those evening services, but was in those morning services. And we got together and we prayed. And God did great and mighty things through the power of prayer. There is power in prayer. If you depend on education, you'll get what education can do. If you depend on technology, you'll get what technology can do. If you depend on personalities, you'll get what personalities can do. But if you depend on prayer, you'll get what Almighty God can do. God honors prayer, and God can do great and mighty things through prayer. God said, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. He is a prayer answering God. His hand is not short that He cannot save. His ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. There was over 100 professions of faith for 4 weeks in our church. 100 professions. Not manipulation, but conviction. When it went into the tent, night after night, people were saved. Somebody said, and there have been critics of the meeting, said it was just children. It was not just children. And by the way, what's wrong with children getting saved? What's wrong with young people getting saved? God saves a young person. He not only saves a soul, but He saves a life. I personally prayed with men who were 60 and 70 years of age. Preachers' wives were saved. Deacons' wives were saved. One deacon's wife came and said, I know what all the Bible, I know the Romans wrote. I've been a secretary, I'm a deacon's wife. And God showed her she was lost. And she got saved. That's conviction. What we need again, fellas, in our church more than anything, we need the raw power of God. We're dependent on everything, but oh, God, send the power just now. We've got to have. Listen, there'll never be another Pentecost. There'll never be another Pentecost, no more there'll be another Calvary. There'll never be another Pentecost, no more there'll be another resurrection. I want to tell you, we can know the power of Pentecost. We can know the power of Pentecost in the church of Jesus Christ. God manifested His power. Lesbians were saved. Homosexuals were saved. Muslim was saved. God gets on somebody, He can do the job. There was a young lady I can't get out of my mind. She came forward one night. And people, when they come to a tent meeting, they come dressed every kind of way. They don't know any better. They don't know any better. They don't know how to dress when you come to church. She had on short shorts. And she had cut herself with razor blades. Didn't even try to hide it. Fronting all the way back. She came forward. God saved her. And she testified, it was though something had left me. God saved her. There was one lady that came forward one night under such conviction that she was trembling. She was hyperventilating. I thought she was going to die. There were people saved when we was putting the tent up. When we were having a tent day, the work day. Workers got under conviction and got saved. God said, behold, I'll do a new thing. Then it shall spring forth, shall you not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Preachers got help. Preachers who thought God's out of business, that God can't do anything anymore. The days of revival. You say, preacher, I don't believe revival's possible. You've come too late to tell me, because the God we serve, as long as God Almighty's on the throne, we can have old time, old fashioned, heaven sent, God sent revival on the church of the living God. Amen. You've come too late to tell me. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth that He might show Himself strong. God's looking for somebody that'll position themselves. God's looking for somebody to put themselves in the way of revival. God's looking for somebody that'll just believe Him. Preachers got help. Revival broke out in other churches. Other tent meetings sprang up. I still get calls. I got a call from Africa. A preacher said, I heard about it. Is it really true? What's going on? One mother flew her son in from Tampa, Florida. And the first night he came, he got saved. There was a man from Jamaica. The first night in the United States was in the tent meeting. He was saved. He was born again. Night after night, wave after wave, people came, got saved all the way to the very last service we had. There was no ebbing of it. Night after night. I believe, beloved, that even we could have stayed in that meeting in the cold weather, but because of situations with the tent we borrowed, it had to be taken back to Brother Ralph. Ralph had commitments. We're going to begin in May. And I want you to mark it on your calendar, preachers. The first 2 weeks of May, we're going to crank it back up. Now listen. Now let me tell you how supernatural this meeting was. Here's a young man. God took Brother CT to another level. God did something in his own heart. And I really believe that that meeting was just as much for him as it was for us. Here's a preacher that people didn't know. God thrust him into the tent ministry. We raised $400,000 for him to buy the tent and all the equipment that goes with the tent ministry. How can you explain something like that? How can you explain that? I want to tell you, it was the hand of God. I'm saying, God said, I'll do a new thing. God said, I'll do a fresh thing. Now it shall spring forth. Hey, listen, he said it shall spring forth. That's spontaneity. Spontaneity. It was a spontaneous meeting. We had not planned a 12-week meeting. We had not planned a tent meeting. I had just slated 1 week meeting in my church, but God sprung forth. God broke out in spontaneity. Preachers, we ought to be so close to God. We ought to so be able to hear God's voice. When God says, I want you to continue that meeting, let's come back tomorrow night. You don't have to have some well-known evangelist. We have messed up in our churches to think you got to have some well-known preacher, an evangelist. God could just break out in your church without a preacher. God could just move on you one Sunday morning. We ought to so hear from God say, let's come back tomorrow night. Let's see what God's going to do tomorrow night and maybe Tuesday night. God can break out spontaneously. And I'd just like to see God one more time do something spontaneous that cannot be explained by man. God said not only was it spontaneity, but notice God says the creativity. Look what he says. He said, I will even make a way in the wilderness. God made a way for us. You got 1,200 people in the church. The fire marshal says they're going to close you down. What do? You call your pastor. You call your preacher friend. Can we use the tent? You can use it. Didn't charge us a dime. Just took him a love offering. Where are we going to put it? There was a businessman, has a car dealership right on I-40, exit 141 right off of I-40 in Burlington, North Carolina. The businessman loves God, born again. He says, you can use our property, and did not charge us a dime. The crowds came. Listen, we had to shuttle them in. We did not have parking space. We had to shuttle them from a nearby school. We had to shuttle them in from a nearby hospital because the crowds came night after night, night after night. God said, I'll transcend anything that I've ever done before. You may think God's out of business in your church, and you may think it's through and it's done, but you hear me, preacher? God can transcend anything that he's ever done. God, I know there's been a great move, the great awakening, but I still believe that our God's able to transcend anything that he's ever done in the past, if he can just find the people that'll pay the price. God says not only will I transcend things that are past, but God said I'll transform the things that are present. Look what he says in verse number 14. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I have brought down the nobles and the Chaldeans whose cries in the ships. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, and the arm and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, and they are quenched as a tow. They are quenched as a wick. God said, not only will I trans things that are in the past, but God said, I'll transform things that are in the present. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that the people who experienced the mighty works of God and liberation and preservation and occupation came back in bondage again? the Babylonian captivity. But God says, because of the prayers of a faithful remnant, God said, I'm going to turn it around. And God said, I'm going to deliver you from Babylon. You're going to go back to your homeland. I'm not only going to transcend things that are past, but God says, I'm going to transform things that are present. I'm about to do a new thing like you have never seen before. And God not only can transcend things that are past, but God can transform the things that are present. Because our God is a mighty God. And our God has all power in heaven and in earth. We're still getting calls of how God's helping preachers. God's called men of God to preach out of this meeting. And we bless His holy name. Bless His name for what He has done. God's changed the atmosphere of my own church. I have men that pray for me while I'm preaching. God put a burden on their hearts while I'm preaching. They're getting in the room back and praying for me and praying hell off of me while I'm preaching the Word of God. Fellas, in your church is a church. In every church there is a nucleus. In every church there is a remnant. You have the church, but then there is the church. I believe in the doctrine of the remnant. Why is it God has not poured out full judgment on this country? All the babies we've killed and all the perversion we've had. Why is it that God has not poured out judgment? I'll tell you why. Because there has been a remnant that has sought God. Because there has been a remnant. He said, had there not been a remnant, you'd be like Sodom and you'd be like Gomorrah. That's what God says. You get a remnant of believers in your church. You just get a nucleus. You get this, Vance Havner said, that kindling wood. Just find you some kindling wood. And preacher, you lead the way and believe God to pray and claim through Him and pray through. What does it mean to pray through? I've heard that all my life. You just need to pray through until God lays it on your heart that He's heard and that He's going to give the victory. And God will honor His word. God honors faith. God honors sacrifice. Why did God show up? God shows up geographically. I don't know why He did it in our area. Why God chose my church, I don't know. But I bless His name. I bless His name. I thank Him. Could it be? Could it be because about 20, 30 people every Monday night would gather and just target pray and pray for revival? You got folks in your church don't care about Sunday school, don't care about the offering, don't care about souls. But if you can just find you a group of men and women that have believed God and hold on to the promises of God, you can inaugurate a new condition. God says, I will do a new thing. What is the purpose of a new thing? Look in verse 20. He said, I want to satisfy my people. He says, I want to satisfy my people. He said, the beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert and give drink to my people, my chosen. God delights in satisfying His people. God's people got filled with the Holy Spirit. Hey, I want to tell you, there was some supernatural phenomenon that took place. We didn't have no prayer lines. We didn't have Benny Hinn. We didn't have prayer claws. But there was such power that people were touched and healed of cancer. Preachers got help about ready to throw the towel in. God ain't doing nothing in my church. They got satisfied. God delights in satisfying His people. The Bible said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, he said, if any man thirst, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He says, rivers of revival, spiritual Amazons, spiritual Columbia, spiritual Niles shall flow out of our lives. If we'll just get hungry again, if we'll just get thirsty again, God will satisfy His people. But there's another purpose that God does a new thing. He said, I want to magnify my Son. Look what He says, they shall show forth my praise. Why does God do a new thing? Why does God send revival? Why does God touch? So that His darling Son might be magnified. That the Lord Jesus might be glorified and lifted up. It's not in man. All the glory of man is vain, but I want to tell you, He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory. One day every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Let me ask you something, preacher. You want revival in your church? Why do you want it? Do you want it for self-exaltation? Your denomination? And I'm going to say something, revival will cross denominational lines. I am a Baptist by conviction, but our God's not a Baptist God. God can take an Anglican by the name of Whitfield who baptized babies and use him. God can use whoever he pleases. God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. If he so chooses to do so. God does it. Why do we want revival in our church? Our motive must be for his honor and for his God to leave us. God breaks out in revival in your church. Be careful. Be careful. Be sensitive. Give God all the glory. Notice the product of a new thing. Verses 28. Look what the Bible says here. God said, verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake and will not remember thy sin. God says, I'm going to do a new thing because I'm going to forgive sin. I'm going to blot them out. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, whenever God sends revival, the product of revival is evangelism. There will be revival to an outpouring. God begin to pour out his spirit. God is concerned about the souls of men. Oh, listen, what we try to do in our own self, God can do when God sends revival. You'll begin to see the byproduct of that is people being over 1,200 professions of faith. Came to Christ, trusted Christ, young and old, black and white, rich and poor, religious, unreligious, came to Christ and got saved and got born again. That's what it's all about. The Burlington Revival is something we'll remember. And I'm praying, God, do it again. God, do a new thing. Do a new thing in our hearts and in our lives. Fellas, we serve an able God. He's able. In his time, and his will, his way, God can do as he pleases. I'm not a fatalist, but I believe we got a mighty big God. We got, listen, there is no promise he cannot keep. There is no pain that he cannot heal. There is no promise that he cannot fulfill. There is no place that he cannot revive. Oh, you may be dry as last year's bird nest, but God can breathe over. God can hover over that place, and God can change your church and inaugurate a new condition. I want to challenge you to seek God in these last days. Oh, God's given us one more chance of the church of the living God. God has given us a nail in the holy place. God has given us grace, a space of grace, and we better do something with it as a church. We need to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near, lest the worst thing come upon us. God said, I've given America one more chance. A church, a hope is not in the White House. Oh, it's in the church house. It's in the church of the living God. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, take what we have said and use it. God, to magnify your Son. Thank you for what you did, Lord. But God, we can't live on past. And Father, we just pray that you'll pick up where you left off. God, I pray the best days will be ahead for these men's ministry. God, breathe on them. Oh, God, come, O breath of God. Come, O breath, breathe upon these dry bones. Oh, God, we need more than just a shaking of the bones. We need a fresh breath from God. We need a fresh breath from heaven. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Oh, God, help us as pastors to lead the way. God, grant personal revival in our hearts. Help us not to succumb to the times and all the negativism and all the theological concepts that said it can't be done. God, I thank you and I praise you.